On December 24th, the U.S. Department of Justice delivered an astonishing Christmas gift to 44 states of the Union. A gift because it unleashes billions of dollars in revenue, and astonishing because it reverses a long-standing interpretation of a 50-year-old law. The Justice Department said it would no longer invoke the 1961 Federal Wire Act to forbid in-state internet gambling, freeing states to run their lotteries online and to issue tax revenue-producing licenses to online casinos. For many in the gaming industry, which is what the gambling industry calls itself, so it doesn't have to call itself the gambling industry, the move was long overdue. The Wire Act, after all, was enacted to outlaw a particular kind of bookmaking fraud. I. Nelson Rose, distinguished senior professor at Whittier Law School, says you probably know the illegal scam. It was the central premise of the movie The Sting.
Into the back stretch. It's Lucky Dan and Link. Got to twinkle half, orchid ahead. I'm a dreamer by one, followed by
sorry, but you couldn't wait. Everything going all right?
Around the curve, nothing to worry about. Dr. Twinkle Link. I put it all on Lucky Dan. Half a million dollars to win.
The Wire Act was designed to cut the wire, and the wire was a telegraph wire that let illegal bookies get the results of horse races before the bettors. And it wasn't even clear that it would apply to telephones, but then came the internet, and the Department of Justice was faced with trying to close down something it considered illegal without any laws on the books to do it.
What was the effect on the states?
It basically scared all the states into not legalizing most forms of internet gambling because they were afraid the federal government would come down and arrest them for organized crime violations under the Wire Act.
So now states are free to put their lotteries up online as long as they don't sell across state lines?
Well, the impact of this is going to be really big because not only does it mean the states can do intrastate internet selling of lottery tickets, there's now no federal law that says they can't do interstate or even international, with the exception of sports betting. And there is a challenge even to the separate federal statute that limits sports betting.
I want to ask you about another federal law that applies here, and that's from 2006. It explicitly banned the transfer of funds by banks and other financial institutions in service of online betting. Where did that come from, and where does that stand?
Well, it's the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act. It was rammed through by Bill Frist when the Republicans controlled both houses. He was the majority leader of the Senate. And President Bush signed it, and it was rushed through so fast it doesn't even have a good acronym. Nobody knows how to pronounce UIGEA.
Yeah, so WIGA was rammed through the Congress and signed by the president into law.
Right.
And didn't that shut down the online poker industry?
Yes, it scared all of the publicly traded companies like Party Gaming, which was running Party Poker, out of the U.S. market. It instantly wiped out $8 billion in equity.
Now, I ask you this question not as a journalist, but as the world's worst online poker player.
Yes.
Does this mean that I'm going to get my game back?
You are eventually going to get your game back.
All right. That's swell for me. I can now squander endless hours playing No Limit Hold'em with strangers from all around the world. But I'm curious about the state lottery side of this.
Yes.
You know, great. The states are now free to enter the online world with impunity. But state lotteries have always been problematic because they are essentially the world's most regressive tax. They are money that is lost by the most vulnerable people in great sums to fund some governmental good work. Is that problem not going to just be amplified, maybe exponentially, once gambling is legal online?
It's not the most regressive tax. State lottery is almost exactly as regressive as a sales tax, which means it does hit poor people more than wealthy, but it's actually not the very poor, it's the working poor who would be most hit by a state lottery. And the internet attracts people with slightly higher incomes. So internet sales will be less regressive, if you view it as a tax, than paper lottery ticket sales.
If you agree that to some degree it's a sort of Faustian bargain, the state getting the benefit of income from people who are substantially the working poor, does going online enable the state to regulate how much an individual can spend, for example, in a way that they can't regulate it for people standing in lines at liquor stores?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are actually better protections even against children playing, because you can compare driver license database and other court records and property ownership and such. But for compulsive gambling, they have a lot more protections in place and a lot easier to send messages saying, hey, here's some place where you can get help. Of course, the problem is if players want to do this, they could go to another site. The good thing about this is that most people are going to want to play on those state licensed sites because they know they'll be honest and they'll get paid if they win.
Nelson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I. Nelson Rose is a professor of law at Whittier Law School. His website is gamblingandthelaw.com.